Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us is NDSU Extension crops economist Frayne Olson, and we are here at the Outlook Conference for Agricultural Lenders here in Grand Forks. So first of all, let's talk about the event itself and what the main focus is for this event and why you host.
Yeah, well, we've been doing this for 33 years now. So it's kind of an annual event for us. We travel around the state in different locations, have a chance to put it on a program specifically for agricultural lenders. So this is kind of a slower time for lenders as farmers are out trying to finish up the harvest. Once we get the harvest in the bin, then we start thinking about, okay, we got to pay our bills. We got some land payments coming up, some rental payments. We need to think about financing into next year. So the Outlook Conference is really targeted for agricultural lenders specifically to give them kind of a reset on, okay, here are the current issues. Here are the things that we see coming that they need to be aware of and thinking about as they move into this loan renewal season.
Something I thought was interesting here this morning, you did a poll of the ag lenders that are here. Why do you do that, and what are some of the interesting takeaways that you've gotten out of those?
Yeah, so we always do the polling questions, and they're anonymous, so everybody can answer honestly and hopefully openly. So we have a live polling system. I ask a bunch of questions, they type in their answers, and we summarize at the very end. So the real question is to get a consensus of the whole area, right? Some of the questions that I ask are a little bit sensitive, in particular when your competitor's sitting right next to you. It's not something you talk about over lunch or over coffee, but it's always something that I get questions about or concerns from the lending community. So we survey the lenders on what they see happening, for example, to kind of loan demand. What is their portfolio's ability to repay additional debt? Given the fact that we're having higher interest rates now, what is that going to do to their loan renewals? Is there going to be additional farmers that suddenly have problems from a cash flow standpoint because their interest costs have gone up? I mean, we haven't seen these levels of interest rates at the farm level for many, many, many years. And so we've been kind of accustomed to, as farm managers, accustomed to low interest rates and making decisions without having to run all the numbers. And so we asked not just us talking, but it's also interactive, saying, well, you tell us what you're seeing and we'll compile all this together. And again, it's all anonymous. So hopefully people feel comfortable with answering those honestly.
And I'm sure that kind of gives you some feedback from year to year. I know you were comparing some numbers as well.
Yeah, we've been doing these polling questions now for, I'd have to go back for pretty close to 10 years. And so we're starting to compile what are some of the general trends. And to some degree, you know, kind of how good are the lenders collectively in being able to forecast or predict what they see happening with land rents or land values or machinery values. And you know, it's been as a group pretty accurate. They've been pretty spot on with what they're seeing coming. So, you know, their crystal ball might be better than mine.
So let's talk about that crystal ball a little bit. What are some of the things that people should be keeping an eye on here as we go through the marketing period, harvest, that sort of thing? I know this is maybe something that is a little bit different focus than, you know, store or sell grain in the bin. What are you talking about here today?
Yeah, and so I'm going to do the crop market outlook. And for this particular group, I'm taking kind of a longer term view of things rather than deciding, as you suggested, you know, boy, do I sell some? Do I off the combine? Do I store it? What do I do in the next 2 weeks? I'm going to be looking at what do I see happening or coming in the markets for the next 6 months or 12 months? What are some of these longer term trends that we're seeing develop now that might have an impact on farm financial capacity, on the ability of farmers to be able to sell the grains at a profitable level? And so I'm taking a little bit higher view. I'm looking primarily, because that's where I get a lot of the questions, on what's happening internationally as we look at the changes going on, not only what's happening in Ukraine and Russia, but now obviously what's happening in the Middle East. What are those implications? What are the impacts? What are some of the trends, for example, in production in Brazil? What about the consumption behavior or the importation that's going on in let's say China or Mexico? These are big customers. So I'm looking at those longer term trends. And I guess one of my kind of clouds in the horizon that I see is, for the last 20 years or so, we've been relying in U.S. agriculture very heavily on this continued growth and expansion of the Chinese economy. that their demand base for agriculture products, in particular the feed products that we're selling, continues to grow. Well, their economy is now starting to flatten out. They're not seeing the growth rates. Their population is kind of maxing out. We're actually looking at population in China either stabilizing or slightly dropping, depending upon what happens. And so the other thing is, of course, we've got some hangover from the previous trade wars where China is now diversifying their purchasing habits, their buying habits. They're going to a broader base of countries. And so longer term, the U.S. is still going to be a major supplier into the Chinese market, without a doubt. However, our role in that, in the global economy, in particular for trade, is I think, kind of flattening out a bit. And so we need to be thinking about that as we move forward on what are the implications for that, what does that mean for price volatility, and more importantly, you know, the demand base for corn might be different for soy versus wheat. And so when we look around globally, each of those countries that are buying these products from the U.S., the dynamics are changing, and globally it's really hard to keep track of all of that.
You just kind of scratched on the surface here about the producer's ability to expand, mm-hmm. ability versus desire to expand. Sure. Kind of talk a little bit about that.
Sure. One of the common themes that came out was, you know, farmers are in pretty good financial condition right now, even though I know there's going to be some areas in the region that have some lower yields. But in general, farm financial conditions are very strong. We're looking at a very strong cash position. And there's a lot of farmers that are looking at in growth mode. They're saying, hey, here's my opportunity. I've got the cash. I'm going to be able to grow. There's going to be really stiff competition in the lending market. So the access to capital is going to be relatively straightforward, although interest rates are going up. And so there's this desire and this ability to go into expansion mode. The challenge is going to be land rents are creeping up on us again. Land values have been accelerating pretty dramatically over the last couple of years. There's some questions how long that can last before we start to kind of slow down the acceleration or the growth rate in land values. Machinery has been a challenge before. We haven't had, because of some supply chain issues, that there's new machinery has been a bit difficult to get, which means used machinery has held their value very, very well. So as we start looking forward, some of those dynamics are changing again, and more importantly, interest rates are going up. And so when you think about, yes, there's going to be access to borrowed capital. Farmers have the financial capacity to take on additional debt. The real question I have is, do they have the repayment capacity? Is the ability, given these higher costs and higher interest rates, is it going to pencil out? Especially as we look forward instead of looking backwards. And that's an unanswered question. I'm just really encouraging not only the lenders here in the room, but also the farm managers as they're listening to, you know, you got to sit down and redo the numbers. You have to do the numbers very carefully and do the math on it. Don't just guess and don't just assume that because it worked before, it's going to work again.
And working capital is something.
And working capital is always a challenge, right? Working capital is always one of those things that we struggle with. And the interest rates on operating loans are going up as well. And so if you don't have the working capital internally, if you can't work with your own cash, that means you have to borrow it. And, of course, that the cost of that borrowing is going up.
All right. Anything else that you want to add on from the conference here before I let you go?
Just that this is the first of our four-part series. We're going to be traveling the state as a group. So tomorrow we're going to be in Minot. On Wednesday, we're going to be in Bismarck, and we're back in Fargo on Thursday. So if there's some ag lenders that haven't registered yet, we still have some room, and we'd appreciate their patronage, and we'd be really enjoy talking to them again.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Frayne Olson, joining us here on the Red River Farm Network.